Telemetry is about having the right data to be able to steer the project into a particular direction. Airflow is very complex, has a lot of different mechanics going on, a lot of different gears, but sometimes certain things get outdated. People are not using it anymore. We might still put in the effort to maintain these kind of things, but we're limited in resources too. So we obviously like to know where people are using it. You just stay relevant for the users is an important factor, not just for companies deploying it like Astronomer or Google or AWS, these kind of things.
You're listening to the Data Flowcast, where we unlock the secrets of mastering airflow for data engineering and AI.
Hey, Airflow community. Airflow Theory is here and we are taking it on the road. Join the Astronomer Roadshow for an exclusive deep dive into the latest features, hands-on demos, and expert insights, all in a city near you. We'll be in London in May, New York City in June, Sydney in July, San Francisco in July, and Chicago in August. Don't miss your chance to connect with the Airflow community and get the inside scoop on what's next. Register now. The link is in the show notes.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Kenton Danis, and today I'm joined by Bulka Debrun, who is a director at Metis and one of the Airflow PMC members. And it sounds like I did get your name mostly right, so that's good. We're off to a good start.
That was excellent, y'all. Excellent. I'm really happy about that. People actually know me now. Here it goes.
Okay, excellent. I passed for a not terrible American Dutch accent. So
no, it was pretty good. I'm happy with it. I will listen to my name this way. So
it's really great to have you here and to see you again. For our listeners, for today's podcast, we're going to discuss telemetry and airflow, an exciting topic. So we'll cover how it's been implemented in the past and how the project is moving forward. But before we dive into that, I want to start with a little bit of background on you, because you've been very involved in the Airflow project for a long time. So maybe you can tell me more about what you do and how you got involved in Airflow and what your role is now.
Ooh, yeah, that's a story, obviously, that has been told quite some time before now, I think, quite regularly. I'll keep that brief. I started out actually somewhere 2015-ish when Maxime started out with Airflow, and we joined pretty quickly when I was still working at the bank at the time. One of my data scientists, when we were looking at orchestrators, said, hey, you should have a look at Airflow. I was looking at Luigi. That was old times, this one. And I looked at Airflow and said, oh, yeah, it looks great, but all the security stuff is missing. And for a bank that I really want to buy. So I started adding that. And I actually did my first Python code ever. And Maxime just merged it just like that. And I was like completely surprised. What I don't think I ever told Maxime is that we didn't even deploy it in production ourselves yet before Airbnb did that. And Airbnb was definitely running at a different scale than we did in this bank with just 10 people using some parts of it. So Maxime, if you listen to it, I'm really happy that you were our beta tester for this. Here we go. And from then on, I helped out pulling this through the Apache Software Foundation, particularly actually because for a bank, in this case, it was important to have a different kind of backer with it and that it was vetted like that. This is, I think, where people or companies dealing with Linux Software Foundation as well and the Linux Foundation and the Apache Software Foundation is how they perceive that there's a quality aspect to it and also some risk mitigation aspect to it if there's continuation after the project is maybe abandoned, for example. So I did that and I was really involved until somewhere 2018, and then also life gets a little bit in the way and other people get involved and companies get involved and people that have exciting ideas beyond that get involved. So I stayed a little bit on the background. I always, when it's a hobby, I like it. When it comes very closer to being a job, then you start feeling itches that it's not entirely the same thing anymore. Yeah, happy that what I'm doing now and getting a little bit involved with the very sexy subject of telemetry, I would say. There is a sexiness to it, but I don't know how you introduce it. It's very exciting subject. I don't know if people look at it that way, but to a certain extent, it is. So here we go.
I think it's very exciting to the people who maintain the project. So we'll get into that. Sure. But thanks for giving that background. We're going way back in Airflow history.
It's way back.
I love that. But as you said, we do want to talk about telemetry today, and this is, I know, one of the things that you've been working on recently in Airflow. So maybe backing up a bit for those who might not know, what is telemetry in the context of something like Airflow? What is it used for?
So what we do, or what telemetry is about, having the right data to be able to steer the project into a particular direction, right? Airflow is very complex, has a lot of different mechanics going on, a lot of different gears, but, and sometimes certain things get outdated, people are not using it anymore. We might still put in the effort to maintain these kind of things, but we're limited in resources too. So we obviously like to know where people are using it. You just stay relevant for the users is an important factor, not just for companies deploying it like Astronomer or Google or AWS, these kind of things, but also for our users, because in the end, we're putting effort in a project that we'd like people to use, because that brings new contributors in and new flows there, and we'd like to know if we're doing the right things, basically. At the complexity level of Airflow, it becomes like flying blind, because if you don't assign, get that kind of data in somehow, and while you could go for user surveys on the user list, there is always bias involved then, because those are actively using users, and they might be a bit conservative too, right? That might not be the bleeding edge user, so you would like to understand that a little bit better. So those are the major challenges or needs for having telemetry in. Nevertheless, we understand that comes with, let's say, especially in the era of data privacy, these kind of things, people start looking at with a magnifying glass on what you're actually doing at that moment. So here we go.
It's a bit of a why.
Yeah, that's very helpful background. My team talks a lot about the Airflow survey, and we help to run that every year. And it's obviously a very useful tool in helping choose like what features are developed. But to your point, it's one, pretty limited in scale. Last year, we had more than 5,000 people fill it out, which was amazing. But that's still a drop in the bucket of total Airflow users around the world. And to your point about, there's probably some bias in the people who are taking the time to fill that out and what answers they're giving. So having a more automated way to collect information about how Airflow is being used can really help drive the project in the right direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And maybe going into why now we are having this kind of conversation, just building a bridge there, is we did actually collect telemetry for a while. And we did this through a tool called Scarf, which was deployed by actually Apache Software Foundation, and there were things in place there. However, I think that we lost a bit of trust with the community in the way we've done that, because we did it as a opt-out scenario, because we did think, and it's true in a way, obviously, if you make this an opt-in scenario, then people won't turn it on. And that makes it really hard to get people convinced to do that, actually, because people in the end will just deploy Airflow and they won't look at those options to turn it on. So it's really hard to get a sufficient body that, again, makes sense, because otherwise you get that kind of bias again into the data, which you'd like to prevent, obviously. Nevertheless, I mean, I think one of the things we've learned there is that actually people's jobs are on the line. And so people were deploying Airflow and suddenly found out that Airflow was sending out telemetry, and maybe people didn't look at it the proper way or just saw outgoing connections, and people got challenged on it. Hey, why is this actually happening? And people got actually sometimes a little bit scared. This is obviously what we don't like. We'd like people's jobs. We like people that use Airflow actually to get a job rather than the opposite way. Here, I think we should definitely do a better job in either, and there are several options for it, and these are the scenarios we have to go through, and also bring our community along with us on, hey, obviously, why are we collecting telemetry? Can we, and what scenario, when can we not? How do you turn it on? How do you turn it off? But also just saying, okay, be very transparent about the telemetry that we are actually trying to collect, and always give the autonomy of the decision basically to the one deploying it in a very transparent way to anyone involved. So there's no surprises when you're doing this kind of thing. That's definitely what we don't like, because then trust is out of the window and it will come back very slowly.
This episode is brought to you by Astronomer, creators of Astro, the leading fully managed Airflow service designed for the modern data stack. Whether you're orchestrating large language models, implementing a data mesh architecture, or streamlining complex workflows, Astro empowers your team to focus on innovation, not infrastructure. to see how you can maximize Airflow's potential within your data ecosystem, visit www.astronomer.io.
I imagine that was very surprising to a lot of users to find out, especially when I think people are busy and they don't always pay attention to what's going on the dev list or in release notes. So it would be very easy to not see an update like that. And with huge companies, you mentioned working at a bank, like security for a tool like Airflow when it's used at companies like that is really important. So where is the project at now? Kind of what are you looking at to move this forward in a way that is more transparent?
So one, to be absolutely clear, we're in the current releases of Airflow, we are not collecting any telemetry. So there's no data being sent anywhere at this moment. So you can safely deploy Airflow without being afraid of your job. Just to be clear, what we would like to go to is to go to a situation where we can actually collect certain information, but we need to build up the trust within the community. So this needs to be a community over technology approach, which is, well, coincidentally, and I know Jarek will love me for it, saying community over code. It's really the Apache way kind of thing. But and absolutely, in this case, it is completely true. So we need to build up the trust with the community that if we are going to be collecting any telemetry, and we need to be able to accept a no here and saying, okay, this is too complex to execute and people will not allow us to do it in the way that is workable for us, then it's basically building a platform over time that we say, hey, we would like to do this. We will put it out on the user list, for example. By having this talk with you now here is starting to be even more sharing, okay, this is our intention. This is what we like to do with it. This is maybe also how you get access to the results of it, because, hey, if we're assembling telemetry, why wouldn't we give out the results of that? So that will take time, basically. That's step number one. So this is probably step number one, really step number one. So it's starting to say, hey, we would like to collect telemetry. What type of telemetry can we collect? Can we collect the amount of DAGs that you're running? Can we say, okay, which provider are you using? By sending us data in one way or another, if that's in automated fashion, we will see IP addresses, which can be privacy sensitive. We would like to disregard them right away, but obviously, because that connection happens, the data exists at that moment when it's there. So what kind of guardrails do we need to put in place to ensure that the community has a trust in what we do? Where does it need to take place? A scarf, because it was a third party contractor, basically, for the Software Foundation, wasn't fully trusted. And with the combination of the surprise that was for people was inside Airflow earlier, that didn't connect really well, particularly for collecting this kind of information. We probably need to keep it in our own hands somehow, but in a foundation way where a lot of companies are working together and individuals are working together, what's our hands is a bit of a question too. Most likely somewhere in the foundation somehow, but that's those things are dilemmas we need to deal with over time. And I hope to have this a reasonable standard and somewhere around the Airflow Summit, which will happen in your hometown, Seattle, somewhere in October.
Yeah, it will. Promo for the Airflow Summit, if you haven't already registered, please, because I would love to see everybody there in Seattle this October. But yeah, that's really interesting. And so you're looking at this from kind of two different angles, one being the community aspect of implementation and how can you do that in a way that makes people comfortable and that they have input and know what's going on. And it sounds like the other is on the technical side. So you're looking at not using like a third party tool that you would integrate, but instead having the community or the developers who work on Airflow contribute it to the project itself. Is that right?
Not necessarily in that way. It's more like, what is the trusted party where we can collect that information? And that's more, it's not a real technical question. This is really a trust question, where a foundation is probably a little bit more trusted than a commercial company, because, hey, those privacy statements might actually change over time, something like that, because that was what triggered us also looking at the Scarf privacy statement, they basically said, yeah, we can just change our privacy statement the next day. That's, yeah, okay. That's stuff that won't fly, obviously, in the context that we are then deploying Airflow in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Truly not a technical question. We can record all the providers that are there and send it over. It's not the hardest thing to do. It's really, okay, do people actually trust us to send that information somewhere? And what is it? Does it go to a vault or something like that? Or do we do it like a very, you know, in a, they say Bitcoin is anonymized, it isn't, but do we like in a zero trust tree kind of thing? Is that much anonymization required? What level of collecting information is acceptable? There have been talks about, hey, we can show where contributors are coming from or where users of Airflow are geographically. But that can be sensitive, right? That might pinpoint individuals in certain locations where they might not want to expose that kind of information. They'd like to probably have that in their own hands, and we need to be very transparent about that and making sure that they have the option to say no or yes in their right way. Here you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally makes sense. And yeah, it's a tricky subject. Definitely a walk between maintaining that trust and those you said before. So helpful for the project too, because I think about all of the big features that have come out recently, including in Airflow 3, were very community driven, and Airflow really takes seriously, I think, all of the PMC and the contributors and committers like take very seriously what the community is saying that they want and need from the project, which is great, but they have to have enough information to work from.
Yes, exactly. And then the challenge beyond that actually becomes at a certain point is if you are sharing, or if you're not sharing, can you still get access to the outcomes of what community brings? And the same question goes for Google, goes for AWS and any other commercial vendor of Airflow. So that's a next level dilemma which comes with it. So these are challenges that we need to overcome in order to provide one, the best way of dealing with it from an ethical perspective, but then also be able to steer the direction of the project, which, and you mentioned we have great new features in Airflow 3. Are they actually being used? ? Probably. Some people know a little bit, but they know a little bit. And we just get that from trusting each other and saying, yeah, absolutely being used. We see millions of downloads going up, that kind of thing. That's a proxy for other kind of information. And we like to be a bit closer to the actual usage there and the way it's being done, because we just like to cuddle our users quite a lot.
yeah, absolutely. Okay, I think that's a great place to round out this discussion. I really hope to hear more about this in the future, including at Airflow Summit, and see any progress that has been made in a couple of months.
I will do a talk at the Airflow Summit, and then hopefully have some of those results being built up. So this is a starting point. Hopefully Airflow Summit, it's not the end, because it will be continuing discussion, but then definitely we'll have a check-in moment again.
Yeah, love it. I'm excited to see you there, and another promo for the Airflow Summit for anyone who wants to learn more about this and lots of other things. Okay, I always end with a standard final question, and that is, what would you most like to see from the Airflow project in the near future? Maybe aside from added telemetry.
Oh my God. Oh, geez. I was teasing Jarek with it, saying, hey, I told you about the Muse thing on just a minute ago before we started this one. As the role that I sometimes have within the Airflow project is writing reports to the Apache Software Foundation board on how the project is doing. And I did this just after Airflow 3 was released, and I did it with a little bit of funny remarks, and we're really proud of it. And then Jarek asked me, hey, what's next? And I said, let Airflow 4, and do you actually already have things that you would like to see in Airflow 4? And honestly, you put me on the spot, but but let's say more, if we get to like maybe two things, if I'm thinking about it now, I would like to see declarative workflows being even better accepted. We see more, Databricks is doing it, and we see it in other areas as well. It just feels a little bit more natural than maybe the imperative one. And the second one is the agentic, I guess, the popular version of the agentic workflows, because you'll just see that kind of assistance coming up in any of the other orchestrators very quickly. And I think that would definitely speed up anything with what Airflow is doing. It's AI isn't going away. You see that kind of speed ups are happening. We can't deny it. Let's then ride the wave and make it the first class citizen so that it works out for a lot of people that then can still deploy Airflow and have their jobs being a bit accelerated with what they need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I love both of those answers. And I think that I may have heard that there's at least some stuff coming on that in 3.1, maybe later this summer. Maybe a teaser. I'm not entirely certain where what the status of that AIP is, but people can fact check me on that one. But soon, I know it's top of mind for certainly Astronomer, definitely a lot of others working.
I assume so.
Yeah. Love that. Okay. Well, it was really great having you on. I appreciate it. What is the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
They can reach me on the dev list, but I'm not looking at it too often currently, but I will be more present there because of the telemetry stuff. If you want to reach out to me on the business side, you can reach me through bulka.debrun@metis.com, which is then my professional address. LinkedIn is also fine. This and just ping me a little bit, then I'll probably get awake and respond to your inquiries.
Okay, we'll throw all of that in the show notes, and I will add another plug for the dev list, which of course anybody can join, and it's a really great way to actually stay up to date with what's going on in the project. And if you ever want to weigh in on development of new features or even jump in and help, that's a great way to, it's part of how I keep up to date with everything. If you want any of the inner workings of what's going on in Airflow, dev list is a good place to go.
It is a very nice place to be in.
All right. I love it. Okay. Thank you so much again. It was really great having you on.
All right. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of the Data Flowcast, Mastering Airflow for Data Engineering and AI. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.